Advent conspiracy. We're going to show you just a very short little promo video about what other churches have done and what has been done in the past to support this wonderful ministry, this wonderful idea that we're going to be holding up through the time of Advent. Kind of intriguing and refreshing, isn't that? Let's talk about it. We have now seen the beginning of the second month of our cultural Christmas, right? Black Friday is past. My sister-in-law couldn't make my family Christmas or my family Thanksgiving in Eau Claire because she works at a Kohl's in Minneapolis, and she had to be at work at 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving. We see how it works. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel ran a four-page insert this week listing all the Christmas specials that are on in the month of December. All the wonderful, uplifting, Christian-based specials. Single Santa Meets Mrs. Claus. Dear Secret Santa. The Santa Claus. The Santa Claus 2. The Santa Claus 3. The Escape. The Santa Switch. Smart Santa Baby. I like this one. Christmas Twister. A scientist must find his family after tornadoes destroy their home. Santa Baby 2, Defending Santa, A Dad for Christmas, The Dog Who Saved Christmas, A Very Brady Christmas, Merry In-Laws, Christmas Cupid, and of course, The Chipmunk's Christmas. Jesus is actually mentioned in here. On December 8th, 11 p.m. on Turner Classic Network, you can watch the 1927 Silent, The King of Kings that tells the story of Jesus. But you get an idea of what it goes on in our culture. We have entered the phase of commercials, endless, endless, endless commercials about perfect Christmas gifts and the perfect people who buy them. And can you feel your stomach tightening right now as you think we have 4 weeks to go? The Advent conspiracy says there's a better way. It is the way that truly is Advent. Advent is a season our culture has simply forgotten, but for us as Christians, it is vital. The word Advent, it comes from a Latin word, adventus, which means an arrival. Usually in the Roman Empire, it meant the arrival of the emperor as he came to visit a city, an arrival which the city would prepare for months or even years. For us as Christians, Advent is the time of preparation for the arrival of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you heard as we lit that first candle, that wonderful first candle of Advent, don't you like how it stands there lit all by itself, giving you expectation for what is to come? When we lit that first candle, we heard of God's promise to send a Savior, a promise for which the people of Israel waited for 500 years. As Americans, our culture likes us to go right from Halloween into Christmas. It doesn't take time for Advent, but we do. And it's important we do that because it is smart to take time for Advent. It is healthy to take time for Advent. It is godly to take time for Advent because we need to take a deep breath. We need to take a deep breath this time of year, don't we? Sit back and we need to let our minds wonder and let our minds wander. Not on shopping, not on decorating, not on gatherings, not on all that stuff we are told is so vital and so important. We need to take the time to let our minds wander and wonder about Jesus and His arrival, His advent, and what that means for us. During these days that we will be holding up the Advent conspiracy, either on Sunday mornings or on Thursdays, we will talk about what it is not. Advent is not about rushing and madness to get ready for everything you have to do and then squeezing in an hour of church on Christmas Eve. The Advent conspiracy, Advent itself, is about godly perspectives and priorities. We'll hear about what it is today to worship fully. We'll talk about what it means to spend less. We will hear the goodness that comes when we give more, and we will hear the importance of loving all. That's what this is about. So this, our first Sunday of Advent, we talk about the first aspect of the Advent conspiracy, worshiping God fully and wonderfully. Is there something you get to do that makes you really glad when you get to do it? Do you have some things that really you get really glad to do? A month ago when I thought metal detecting, I met someone who metal detects. My new best friend, his name's Tony, lives over in Cedarburg. After this awful weather, it's gotten warmer. Tony and I, this afternoon, we're heading out. Secret spot he knows about, somewhere in Cedarburg, old part of town, treasures waiting for us. I'm looking forward to it. Should be fun. Do you have those things that you look forward to, that you are glad to do? Thanksgiving with your family, maybe today a quiet couch or some errands to run on a packerless Sunday afternoon. Do you have those things that you are looking forward to? That's what we hear in our psalm today. As the psalmist declares, I was glad. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Psalm 122 is one of a group of about 10 psalms from like Psalm 120 to Psalm 130 called the Songs of Ascent. These were songs sung by the pilgrims who came to Jerusalem. They were songs that group of Israelite worshipers would sing as they would walk up the hills leading to that mountain called Mount Zion where the great temple to the Lord was. Our group was just in Jerusalem about a month ago. And we saw this standing on the Mount of Olives looking down into the Kidron Valley. You can imagine these pilgrims walking down and then walking up the hill to the temple. The psalmist declares in music that he is glad to be able to be going to the house of the Lord. He was glad to have the privilege of worshiping the Lord. Here's what he sings. And again, these were originally set to music. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up. The tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Our unknown psalmist, he loved joining his fellow Israelites as they went up to the temple for one specific purpose, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. As they make this journey, he declares this is a journey of prayer. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, he sings. May they prosper who love you. He prays for the peace of Jerusalem, which people today continue to pray for. But he prays that God will prosper those who love Jerusalem, who love the Lord. He prays, peace be within your walls and security within your towers. He prays that this beautiful place will be protected. To this day, Jews continue to pray this. Again, when we were in Jerusalem last month, we went to the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall. We saw all the devout Jews who go to this wall to put their hands against it and to pray. We actually had the opportunity to go in the tunnels underneath the Temple Mount that take you way underground to where the original stones that supported the Temple Mount were. And there down in this little tunnel far below ground, we came to a place where there were some young Jewish women who were praying, sitting in chairs, their hands against the wall as they prayed. Praying the same prayers that the psalmist prayed thousands of years ago. He continues to pray these things. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be with you. His worship is also a prayer for his family and his friends, that they may be well, that God's peace will extend to them. He seeks their good for the sake of the house of the Lord. His worship builds up relationships with them. This ancient psalmist, whoever he was, he knew what it was to worship fully. In our gospel, we hear two people, two elderly people who know what it is to worship fully. We hear Simeon, who is described in this ways by Luke. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. We hear of this 84-year-old prophetess named Anna, and we are told she never left the temple but worshipped there with fasting and prayer day and night. They knew what it was to worship fully. So what about us as we hold up this idea of the Advent conspiracy? How do we worship fully? Well, there's some important things we need to understand. The first is this, that worship is much more than just showing up. Worship is much more than just showing up. That's attendance. That's not worship. Many years ago, I had a wonderful pastor named Don Abdon say this. I remember this ever since. He said, sitting on the premises is not the same as standing on the promises. We are called to be those who aren't just here, but who are here because we stand on the promises. We are called to worship fully as we give God our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind. We are here because we are called to be glad when we come into the house of the Lord. And it is a joy when we are glad to be in the house of the Lord. I saw that on Wednesday night, and I told Catherine I was going to talk about her in my sermon. Little Catherine Framuth over here, who sat in church on Wednesday evening at our Thanksgiving Eve service. You were trying not to smile, but you were smiling, Catherine, because she was going to take communion for the first time that night. And I could see the gladness in her face, and it made me feel so good. I see that gladness sometimes in our services when you get children like little Rachel Donovan, Scott and Debbie's granddaughter, who will do an impromptu dance routine, little ballet in the back of the church. I love seeing that. Those who are glad to be it. I love seeing faces that are aglow and smiles on people as they show the joy and the gladness they have for coming to worship the Lord. Faces aglow, joy on our brows, as we give God the praise and glory He so richly deserves. You see, the Advent conspiracy is about putting Jesus first in our lives. Not just in December, not just on Christmas Eve, but every day of our lives. We need to do that. Because just like that ancient psalmist, we know we are imperfect people. As God's people, we don't always get along with one another. We have different points of view. We can be pretty messed up as individuals, and sometimes as groups we can do that. If we're honest, we understand that we need a Savior. God sent the Savior not to perfect, wonderful people. God sent His Savior to a world steeped in sin, just as we confess every week. We are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We can see that in our modern world. I read the article on Friday, and the good news that only one person was shot on Black Friday shopping. And no Walmart employees were trampled to death this year trying to open the doors. Good news, right? Got to be much more than that. We understand our need for a Savior. And the idea of worshiping fully is this, that we, imperfect people, one and all, we have the blessed opportunity of coming together in the name of the Lord, in the house of the Lord, to praise the Lord. We have the privilege of coming together to sing Him praise and give Him glory. We have the privilege of coming together to hear His holy and eternity-changing word, which Pastor Heidi and I, we have the privilege of sharing with you. And you know what? We need to hear it. We really need to hear it. We have the privilege of coming together to pray, just like the psalmist prayed, praying for the peace and prosperity of those who love the Lord, praying for the security of this troubled world, praying for our family and our friends, praying for the sake of the Lord that we seek good for others. We come to worship to take a breath, to catch our breath, to be refreshed, because we know what awaits us when we leave this place. The world tells us how we're supposed to do Christmas, right? We get bombarded with it all the time. And we're made to feel there might be something wrong with us if we do not do it with armloads of gifts, a big smile on our face, and a wonderful tacky Christmas sweater on our bodies. But there is so much more. And it may seem strange, but let me say this. We Christians, we need to be a little bit conspiratorial at this time of year to recapture what this means for us. Because you see, Advent is still ours. Christmas still is ours. Why? Because we still are Jesus's. And that's what it's truly all about. What did the psalmist say? I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." House of the Lord. There's no better place to be this Advent and Christmas. And may we be here with joy in our hearts, with devotion inside of us, with praise pouring out to our God as we celebrate all He has done for us. And that Savior Jesus, He has given to us. Amen.